I gotta feel like that has to stop first. It's like, we're not gonna have that when we go over next door. We're gonna miss that. We're gonna be waiting for a noise to happen before the sermon begins. And so, bear with me as I settle into the space here. It's good to see everybody. God bless you for being here. And I'm already emotional, and I've got my Kleenex, got my water up here. Yes, my water's here. I have to apologize. I have something starting with my throat, as most of you are having at this point of the year. And so, I'm just listening to the worship music and out in the hallway there. And just anytime I feel God's love and presence anymore in my life, the tears just flow. And so some of you can relate to that, can't you? Yes, this is yes, this is no. If your eyes are open, you're not asleep yet. So I'm going to be with you for about 30, 35 minutes just to give you a warning there. And so thinking of Advent gifts, community came to my mind immediately. Just because, to be honest with you, and to kind of get the emotion out of the way first, is that's what you folks are to my family. We've been blessed to be worshiping here for 6 years now. And from the get-go, what I'm going to speak on today, you guys have done to our family, or for our family. And I can say that. It's been an incredible healing time. And I'm so thankful to God for you, my brothers and sisters here at La Porte Missionary Church. Having said that, get the other thing out of the way. My family made me promise I would try not to do any humor this morning. So, to this moment, I'm still tempted. So, I apologize. This is going to add time to me being up here. But the last time I was up here, I was trying to talk you into or share with you on how we can afford $1 million.
Yeah.
And so, if some of you are sweating, I apologize about that, but there's no way of doing that. God made a way for that to happen, and right there, look at it. It's beautiful. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful what God's going to do there. And standing here, I mean, it's like we've hit two or three of those into that space. I mean, it's just crazy on what he's done with us. But if you haven't joined the believers here in taking part in contributing to the building project, you are certainly invited and welcome to do that. So you can ask Pastor Steve or anybody on staff on how you can go about doing that. And I would encourage you to do that. So my original title for this today was going to be Baby, It's Cold Outside. But I was going to tie it in somehow. And I was told, Dad, that's really not what they're asking for. I said, well, it's Christmas. Well, it's not the Christmas that we're talking about today, the Advent anyway. And so I settled on another Christmas movie that my son told me that was a holiday movie, and that is the Lord of the Rings movies. And so, yeah, exactly. I said, what? He said, Dad, they have elves in it. Why wouldn't that work? And I said, no, not really. And so, yeah, exactly. But I wanted to make a Tolkien who wrote the Lord of the Rings type title. So I selected God's Advent Gifts, Community, the Fellowship of the Believers. And so thus ends the humor portion of this morning. I want to give credits where due. Some of the resources I used in preparation was the Spurgeon Study Bible, the New International Dictionary of the Bible, the MacArthur Bible Handbook, Archaeology Study Bible, JustWorship.com. I spent a lot of time on my Logos program and some articles within the Ligonier Ministry. Helped me put together what I believe God wants us to share with you today. So first of all, this is part three. We had part one a couple weeks ago by Dr. Brian Moore. And that was entitled Suffering. And to take a step back, I always appreciated Dr. Camille when he preached. It was like having a Bible study course at college. There was so much wealth of knowledge there. And I look forward to that. And with them being over in France now, it's like, oh, darn, we're not going to get that. And by behold, God provided Dr. Brian. And I mean that in all sincerity. Obviously, God has been active in his life for many, many years. And he has spent a number of years studying God's word. And I appreciated the overall look of suffering as a gift that he brought to us 2 weeks ago. Last week, our second gift was mercy, and that was brought by Mark Blake via Pastor Carl. And that was really cool, I thought. It really was. And I've always appreciated Mark, his study of the Word, his transparency when he preaches, and especially this time in the midst of the passing of his brother Denny, being able to put this message together and God using it and sharing it with us last week. So that brings us to this week about community. And next week, Pastor Steve is going to bring part 4, which he's going to preach on, about peace. So the text was just read to us, and I appreciate that, Pat, so much. And so we're going to jump right into Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. I'm going to share a lot of different other scripture with you in the midst of this, so bear with me. And so verse 42 starts out listing 4 things. They're talking about, well, let's just look at it here. Talks about the apostles' teaching as number 1. Number 2, the fellowship. Number 3, the breaking of the bread. And number 4, the prayers. And so we're going to walk through these. And all 4 of those things are the foundation of what we do here on a Sunday morning. And I think you would agree on that. So let's take a moment and just reflect on the book of Acts. The book of Acts ties the other books of the New Testament together. It does first by providing the rest of the story to the Gospels. The Gospels and the message of the kingdom of God did not end with Jesus' ascension to heaven 40 days after his resurrection, but continued in the lives of his followers. Acts shows us how the words and promises of Jesus were carried out by the apostles and other believers through the power of the Holy Spirit. Second, the book of Acts gives us the context to much of the rest of the New Testament, especially the letters Paul wrote to the churches that he helped establish during his missionary journeys. The author of the book is formally unknown. The traditional view is that the author is the same person who wrote the book of Luke. And Luke is the physician and traveling companion of the apostle Paul. So in verse 42, it starts with, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching." I'm going to spend actually quite a bit of time talking about who the they are, or who makes up the they. In the nutshell, they are the community, the fellowship of the believers, the bride of Christ, the church. At this point in history, Christ has been killed, executed by crucifixion. He was buried and was resurrected from the dead. He spent 40 days teaching the apostles before he ascended into heaven. He asked them to wait a few days more in Jerusalem for the helper his father promised, the Holy Spirit. It is now 50 days after Passover, and the Feast of Harvest is going to take place. The Feast of Harvest, which we now call the Pentecost. Pentecost attracted Jews from all over the world to Jerusalem to celebrate the annual festival. A number of these Jewish pilgrims would had been in Jerusalem since the Passover was held, since they had to travel a great distance to get to Jerusalem. They came from various regions within the 2 great competing empires of the day, the Roman Empire and the Parthian Empire. And Jerusalem was near the center of these 2 empires. The estimate would be of anywhere to hundreds of thousands to over 2 million people were in Jerusalem at the time of the Pentecost. So we have the Jewish people that lived in Jerusalem, and we have the Jewish pilgrims who traveled to Jerusalem that make up the they of this group. Another part of the they of this group is a group of Jesus' followers who were gathered in Jerusalem waiting on the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit. These were an impressive bunch. They consisted of the 12 disciples, in addition to several women and some other believers, including Mother Mary of Jesus. Also, Jesus' 4 brothers were present. Scripture tells us that there were about 120 total of these believers waiting for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Before we move forward, let's kind of take a look at what the 120 were doing at this time. Acts 2, 1 through 8 tells us the following, and I'll read this for you. You necessarily don't have to look it up, but it's Acts 2, 1 through 8. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound of the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we can hear each of us in our own native language?" At Pentecost, a new phase of the revelation of God to people began. As new as when the Word became flesh in the birth of Jesus, with the sound of the rushing mighty wind and what happened to be tongues of fire, the disciples were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in foreign languages. The noise and excitement drew the crowd of visitors from the feast, to whom Peter, the fisherman and a special friend of Jesus, who made the loudest profession of loyalty to him, and then gone on to deny that he ever knew him, was declaring that Jesus had been raised from the dead. "God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Everything that had happened to Jesus, including the terrible events of his crucifixion, had taken place in accordance to God's purpose. Now he was alive, free from the agony of death, and vindicated by God. The raising of Jesus, Peter declares, signifies the fulfillment of scriptural promise made in Psalms and the prophets. Peter's news was that the true Messiah had come, and the final times were now. To go on to what the 120 were doing, Acts 2, 37 through 41 tells us, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone who the Lord our God calls to himself.' And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, 'Save yourself from this crooked generation.'" Now that's still today, isn't it? Things have not changed. "Save yourself from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added to this day about 3,000 souls. So again, let's look up who makes up these 3,000 theys. Their conversion was quite different from ours, that's for sure. All of us have our own conversions. These folks were very religious people. They knew the scriptures well that Peter had been preaching from. Some of them had seen Jesus during his 3 years of ministry. There may have been some of them that grew up in the neighborhood with him. Maybe some of them went to, "Hey, I went to high school with that guy." But in all seriousness, many of these people may have been in the crowd yelling at Pilate to crucify him. Some of them may have been mocking and spitting at him as he carried the cross to Calvary. Kind of wonder where I or you would have been in that crowd. I know where I was at before Christ called me. A sinner condemned to hell, an eternal existence without God. So, they had an amazing start. Jesus had ascended, sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit placed all believers in the body of the church, filled them with Spirit power. The gospel was preached by Peter. Jesus declared as Lord and Messiah, and 3,000 people believed, were baptized, and the church was born. 120 believers, 3,000 believers, grew pretty rapidly. So to reflect a little bit more on the they are saved sinners just like you and me. These 3,120 souls were saved because God's great plan from the beginning of creation. The gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the first thing we can say about the they is that they are saved. Salvation has come to those 3,000 believers. You can also say that they are a church that has been regenerated. The church is made up of true believers. And unless the church is redeemed, it is seriously compromised. So this first church in Acts, the initial reality, the initial action, you may say, is that the church is the action that God takes to call some to faith. This is an amazing, amazing beginning. 3,000 people were saved at the end of one sermon in one day. This is a mighty work of a big God bringing his church together. Now I want to take a moment to reflect on the tens of thousands of those that were there at Pentecost to make up those that were not saved, the non-believers. This doesn't mean at some future point that some of these believers, non-believers, were not saved as the Jerusalem church grew. As we will see later in our text, the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved. It's safe to say that in this room this morning or on any given Sunday, there are non-believers. First of all, I want to say you're welcome here. Those of you are may not be, or those of you that may be non-believers, we are so grateful that you're here. You may be checking out the claims of Christ for the first time. You may be feeling an emotional stirring inside of you that you can't explain. This community of believers at LaPorte Missionary Church will come alongside of you and help you in any way we can. And part of that help is being honest to you, something that the world cannot or will not do. But until you come to Christ and confess him as your Savior and Lord, you're not part of the church. We invite you to come to Christ and become part of the church, and we pray that you will open yourself to the Holy Spirit that is calling you to salvation. And if you ever need any help or guidance in that, just see one of us and we will walk alongside of you, and we will be safe to talk to, and we will answer your questions. With the time we have left, let's finish unpacking the rest of the text for the day and look at some application. So we're going to be back in Acts 2, verse 42. So far we've covered the they. So I'm going to go a little more rapidly as we move through this. But so they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And as we mentioned, these four things are the foundation of what we do here on every Sunday. The fellowship of the believers were being devoted to being part of a community. And they devoted themselves first to the apostles' teaching. Apostle is a title used to describe various men in the New Testament. It once described Jesus himself, Jesus the apostle and high priest, pointing to Jesus' role on earth as the ambassador of the Father. Second, the 12 disciples whom Jesus chose to be with him and to whom he commissioned and sent out to preach are also called apostles. These men, without Judas for apparent reasons, had been replaced with Matthias in Acts 1, verse 26. They were witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus, and their task was to proclaim the gospel of God, establish churches, and teach sound doctrine. They did this as they lived in spiritual union with the Holy Spirit. There are two basic ways to use the word apostle. One is with a small a, and that apostle is a missionary commissioned by a local church. The other way, which the New Testament is talking about right now, is apostle with a big A. And that is someone who has seen the risen Lord and who had been commissioned by Jesus personally for his ongoing ministry. They were the bearers of divine revelation, which was authenticated by the miracles which they did, which we'll mention in verse 44. This validated them as a spokesman for the early church. This is very important. A normal church community is a community that is completely involved in the study of biblical truth. It was the apostles and their associates who eventually wrote down, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the doctrine, that composes the New Testament. We no longer have apostles with the big A. The New Testament is our apostles' teaching. It is our doctrine. It is our divine revelation. It authenticates what the apostles were eyewitnesses to: the ministry, miracles, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Community, the fellowship of the believers, grows closer to God and each other by being centered around God's word. And I praise God that that happens weekly here at La Porte Missionary Church. To go further in 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. Fellowship is from the Greek word koinonia, which is an environment for spiritual growth, spiritual togetherness. The church is a partnership. It's non-optional. It means partner, teammate. They were together. They were not spectators. They were not part-time attenders. They lived out their life in a wonderful kind of fellowship. The church is not an event for people to come and watch. It is a shared life. The essence of Christ's life, the essence of Christian life is fellowship with God and fellowship with other believers. Further in 42, again it tells us they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread. Breaking of bread is in reference to the community of believers having meals together, after which they celebrated what we call the Lord's Supper. Early Christians continued the practice of sharing common meals that had begun during Jesus' ministry. Now, however, the breaking of bread and the drinking of the cup, accompanied by a blessing or thanksgiving to God, functioned as a remembrance of Jesus' Last Supper, Passion, and Resurrection. And this followed the common meal together. Community, the fellowship of believers, grows closer to God and each other by remembering Jesus' death and resurrection through the breaking of bread. And to wrap up verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. Now prayers, according to the book of Acts, can be seen at the first moments of the church. The apostles regarded prayer as the most important part of their lives. Acts 6:4 tells us, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Romans 1, 9, and 10 says, for God is my witness, whom I serve, with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in prayer. Colossians 1, 9 states, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. In the original text, it says the prayers, and in this original language, it indicates not just praying, but the entire service of worship, the singing, the reading from the Hebrew Bible, message of exhortation and instruction, and observance of the Lord's Supper. While these meetings could take place as often as daily, they seem to have occurred at a minimum on Sunday, the first day of the week, which is a Jewish term. Community, the fellowship of the believers, grows closer to God and each other by praying for each other. Let's look at verse 43. It starts off, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And awe came upon every soul. Awe is a term referred to an emotion combination of honor, fear, and respect before someone of a superior office. In the verse, it also talks about came upon every soul. Every soul is in reference to the non-believers that were there at the time. These outsiders kept experiencing fear in the sense of awe. They felt the higher powers were at work among the disciples. Luke adds the wonders and signs that related to this sphere. The miracles were intended to impress those who were on the outside of the community. Let's take a look at verses 44 and 45. And within these two verses, pretty much I label as love is presence. in these two verses. And they read, all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. It was as if no one felt he had the right to anything of his own. They were all together. Is this communal living? No, not at all. What it says is they had all things common. It simply means that they held together, or held whatever it was they possessed, lightly in their hands, and if anybody else needed it, they released it. They began, if necessary, selling their property and possessions and sharing them with all and anyone that may need them. By the way, this never happens again in the New Testament in any other church. So much for the church being the fountainhead of social justice or some kind of Marxism. This never happens again. You have to understand that there were thousands of pilgrims in the city of Jerusalem who couldn't or did not want to go home. Why? Because there was only one church, and it was right there, and they wanted or needed to stay. But who is going to meet their needs? But they were so together in unity and love of the Holy Spirit that they were willing to part with anything they possessed to meet someone else's need. Community, the fellowship of the believers, grows closer to God and each other by taking care of each other's needs. The gospel forms a community that deeply cares about others, not just about the idea of community. The final verses, 46 and 47. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. Community, the fellowship of the believers, involves gathering together for communal worship regularly. But they were also breaking bread in their homes, living life with people during the week. Their spiritual life wasn't restricted to a certain time or a certain location. They were talking about God and with each other, meeting each other's needs, and praying for each other as they lived their lives. So I have two applications for us today. The first one, which struck me most in this entire passage, really is the last part. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved. Granted, this is the beginning of the universal church. So the number of the redeemed will be growing by day by day. Flash forward from the beginning of the church to the here and now in LaPorte County at LaPorte Missionary Church. It would be safe to say that the Lord is still adding to the universal church day by day. But as the part of the body of Christ that we represent at LaPorte Missionary Church, are we allowing ourselves to be used by God to add to the number of those being saved? Pastor Steve took us on a sermon early in the year entitled The Story. Some of you may remember these old booklets. This is yes. This is no. Okay. Near the end of that study, he challenged and encouraged us to make a list. The example was 10 family members, friends, co-workers, you get the idea, that we would pray for and for the opportunity to share the story of God with them. Where are you on that? Did you forget about it or not follow through like I did? Maybe your list is only 3 or 4. That's fine. To encourage you in this, I'd like to give the example of what we did at the men's retreat in November. The men present at that retreat made their list. 2 copies, one for themselves, and the second to trade with another brother that was present. We were to commit to pray not only for the names on our list, but for the names that they gave us on the second list. And we were encouraged to commit and pray for each other in praying for these folks and finding time or an opportunity to share God's story with them. And Rick Rabb, I still got your list, brother. It's right here. Every day. And so, I'd like to challenge you in that if I can. I'm not sure where you're at with that. I'm not sure how you're comfortable with that. But I would challenge you to make a list. To make that list that Steve encourages to do. A list of folks that we know don't know Christ. One, to pray for their salvation, for a way for that to happen. And two, we're equipped to do that. Depending on our relationship with them, we are equipped to share God's saving story with them. So I'd ask you to join us moving into this next year to do that and to see how God will use La Porte Missionary Church in adding the number to his body day by day. We are not saved to be individual Lone Ranger Christians. We are saved to be part of a community of Christians, the body of Christ, Lord's Church. In closing, I want to share application 2 with you. Ask God to direct you as you reflect this week on the following things. What if the community here at La Porte Missionary Church followed Jesus like the early church? Devoted to understanding and living out Scripture? The fellowship of experiencing life together? Sharing meals and communion often? Praying individually and in community every day? What if our resources were actually His, making our wealth serve God instead of just us? Holding our possessions with an open hand every day? Living in community, giving Him praise, adding to the number of those being saved every day? How would your life and my life change? Father God, we thank you for this opportunity today, for these words from your scripture, Father. I pray that it will convict us. It will help us to move forward within the community that we're here at La Porte Missionary Church. Father, I hope it helps us move forward in your great commission, that of making disciples. And Father God, as we go through the rest of this Advent season, we pray for your will and your glory to be done. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for your gift of the Holy Spirit, Lord. We thank you for the body of Christ, which is Jesus' bride, the church, and that you've called us to community here at La Porte Missionary Church, Father God. Continue to move forward, guide us and direct us in the days to come, until we're home with you at the great wedding feast. All this we lay at your precious feet, Father God. Amen.
Amen.